good tonight. Hope you had a fabulous weekend, folks. Coming up on this hour of ATN, we have the weekly re-rack. In case you missed it, a great conversation with our terrorism expert, Jeff Atticott. There is nobody who goes deep the way he does. And we're going to talk about Libya. Kind of forgotten what's going on with Muammar Gaddafi and how much are we spending in this conflict, because makes no mistake about it, there is a conflict here, and we are absolutely square in the middle of it, since NATO is 85% of the U.S. militarily, and then making up the rest, certainly, monetarily. And speaking of money, of course, we're going to talk about the deficit. Of course, we're going to talk about the debt ceiling. How can we not? Because it affects every single one of us. So what's the latest greatest? Sunday is always a big day, end of the week, heading into a new week, for the political animals to pontificate on the tube. So the Sunday swirl, a little bit of the Sunday swirl as well we're going to mix in. Plus, raise your hand if you remember, because we have those special infrared glasses, if you remember Jim Jones. And if you remember, of course, the cult and all that happened as a result of people who just drank the Kool-Aid. You know, the old expression about drinking the Kool-Aid, which was sadly coined as a result of Jonestown. We're going to talk to David Kahn coming up around the bend. He is a guy who has followed cults forever and a day. In fact, he has a book out called The Cult That Died. You might have read it. And he's got something else that's also on the horizon, a novel, and it's got some interesting twists in it. So we'll chat with him, the truth sleuth, in just a few minutes here on the show. In the meantime, a couple of things happened over the weekend that might have caught your attention. One of them, sadly, happened on a Friday heading into the weekend. And it has to do with Norway. And what a nightmare in Norway when they're trying to figure out who and what shook that population to its core. You know, what they're all about, and we've had our friend Saul Album on many times, what the people there are all about is that they're about being an open society and being progressive. And now all of a sudden they've got a bombing and a shooting to grapple with and to try to make sense of this. So Norwegians are concerned as to what happened and accountability for what happened and whatnot. And they're saying almost 100 people dead as a result of Friday's crazy bombing. And we'll talk more about that, give you some more of the details, etc. And you know, it's interesting. Somebody said to me that the embassy, and guess which one it is, the American embassy, is the only spot in Oslo where the fences are high and have iron fixtures around it, because that's not the way the people there think. Now things are different, since you had people openly walking around the streets with barely, I hate to say this, any skin on some of the people that were injured in that bombing. And so now the Prime Minister, Stoltenberg, and the others in, you know, all the other politicians are trying to make sense of this, and they don't want to, and they're concerned about the openness that they think they have in the country. They're concerned about that changing. So Norway's terror attacks certainly have set off alarm bells, let's say. And the man accused in that terror attack is going to appear in court. So, wow, very sad. If you've seen any pictures of it, too, there's no doubt as to what happened there. But almost 100 people. An explosion, hitting people, gunning them down at a youth camp, and you know what possibly led to this is the question that everybody's asking. And the guy was Norwegian, too. Acted alone, apparently, so it's one of these homegrown things. And we've seen that in the United States and just how scary that is. So the conversation with Jeff Atticott, even that much more interesting, the re-rack at the tail end of the hour. Meanwhile, many of you across the nation, probably over the weekend, were dealing with some incredibly warm temperatures. When I say warm, I guess I'm being actually pretty generous about that. How about steaming hot, set your skin on fire temps? 120 in some places, that's what it feels like. And there doesn't seem to be an end in sight. You look at a weather map, and all you see is red. You know, usually it's like when you're in an airport or you're in a convenience store and you look at the back of the USA Today. And what does everybody look at there? They're looking at the weather map, and it has colors on it. And all you see is it's just a red, just this red thing coming from a map. And that's pretty scary. It is. It's pretty scary because almost everyone I've talked to is kvetching about how bloody hot it is wherever it is that, you know, where they are, whether it's in the Midwest or it's in the East or the South or even the Southwest. And then a big shocker also, too, when I woke up this morning, I saw this, but Amy Winehouse, you know, the song she's famous for, Rehab, she dies over the weekend. They found her dead in her apartment on Saturday. She was just 27 years old, but she certainly had a long history in her short life of battling some serious drug and alcohol problems. And her family, because so many people want to know what had happened and all this other stuff, said that, you know, that they're sad about the loss of their daughter, their sister, their niece, et cetera, and that leaves a hole in their lives, and they're trying to come together to remember her, and they want some privacy because, of course, the paparazzi is all over this. It was about 2007, I think, when she hit a little bit of stardom because her Rehab song hit the top 10. So now this comes, what, less than 2 months after her last release from a rehab program, and just weeks, if you remember, because we played it here on America Tonight, after she was booed off stage by fans in Serbia. So Amy Winehouse dead at the age of 27, and they're investigating this and just saying that they found her, but they're assuming it's some kind of suicide or overdose, you know, et cetera. And that song was terrific. I mean, the song that she did, and of course she had the album out called Back to Black, which was huge. And I remember at the Grammys, I want to say it might have been 2008 or so, where she had won a handful of awards. I want to say 5 or 6 or something like that. And of course Rehab was such a huge song. Sure, forever will be known, I think, by that. All right, stay with us. Coming up next, we're talking to the Truth Sleuth. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
for Midas Resources, July 22, 2011. Gold opened this morning at $1,598.50. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1,638.73, $819.37 for a half ounce, or $409.68 for a quarter ounce. That's $1,638.73, $819.37, and $409.68.
The Constitution and Bill of Rights have been reduced to old relics politicians ignore and trample with their outlandish, overreaching policies. Your support for the Campaign for Liberty stands in the way of this insidious process. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I teamed up with the Campaign for Liberty to offer the authentic proof quarter-ounce pure gold coin. For only $480 plus shipping and handling, Midas will donate $100 to this incredible organization. Help fight big government by ordering your gold coin at 800-686-2237. You get to win twice by owning gold and fighting an overreaching government. Call 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
You've heard a lot lately about zeolite, but what is it and why do you need it? Zeolite is a beautiful, complex, crystalline structure that encapsulates radiation and odors. ZeoKing Zeolite naturally eliminates radiation poisoning your body may pick up from x-rays, security scanners, or nuclear fallout. ZeoKing flushes environmental toxins absorbed from smoke, cell phones, and chemicals, so it detoxifies heavy metals including mercury, lead, and cadmium. ZeoKing Zeolite helps boost your immune system, allowing your body to balance itself and cut off food supply to cancer and parasites. Order your ZeoKing Zeolite now from ZeoKing.com for only $39.99 and receive a free month supply with every order. Call 888-402-6779. That's 888-402-6779. Or visit ZeoKing.com. That's ZeoKing.com for natural elimination of radiation poisoning.
Our next guest credentials. David Kahn was part of the Defense Department as a liaison with the West Coast Navy and Air Force bases. Boy, but some interesting things happened there. And the Defense Department and a bunch of other industrial transportation companies. My mind is racing. And then check this out, too. Also a lead analyst with Chevron's Environmental Labs. In the meantime, when he's not doing all of that, when he wasn't doing all that, he's all about finding out about cults. David Kahn is an expert on cult mentalities. And you might have heard of this book, The Cult That Died. He co-authored that one. And then he's got this novel out called Ledendorff's Dilemma. And, of course, we have talked about this many, many times here on America Tonight. What is it that leads people to get sucked into various cults, and especially Jonestown? We've talked about that many, many times here on ATN throughout the years. So it is a pleasure to welcome him to the show. David, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be aboard.
Let's talk about Jonestown first. I said that it's sad but true. You know, this phrase came out of that, oh, don't drink the Kool-Aid or whatever about the Kool-Aid. And when you go back, and certainly you've done so much on that, when you go back and you look at Jim Jones and who this guy was, what was it about him that led him to the position where so many people just followed him and were willing to do that and give up everything else? What was it about Jones? Was he charismatic?
Yes, he had a remarkable speaking ability. He was also very charismatic, and he was narcissistically driven to rise to as much power as he could. He made all the connections possible with politicians and high church people. You know, The vast part of the Jonestown history has not made it to the public, since it's, you've talked about it a lot on your show over the years, I suppose, mm-hmm. I thought it would be interesting to to talk about the aspects that are just not really well known to the public at all.
Yeah, what would you say is the number one thing? Give us a sketch of what people don't know about that.
Okay. For one example, of the hundreds of books and articles written on Jonestown since then, not one of them dealt with that key moment when Jones was hit with the realization that he could no longer sustain his charade. That's just absolutely unknown, and there are some people have speculated to me under why that isn't known, and that main thing when it hit him happened when I made a major error in my investigation, and that was when I saw the American Indian leader Dennis Banks had his picture taken with Jim Jones, and I thought there was a possibility of maybe warning him away from Jones. Well, it turns out that he was closer to Jones than I thought. And so I met with him through a very close friend, a Seminole Indian, full-blooded Seminole Indian. And he then knew a leader, one of the leaders of another American Indian movement, that was Lyman Brightman, who was very close to Jones. So we made that connection. And on March 22nd, 1977, we finally set up a meeting, a midnight meeting. And I unloaded the whole story of my investigation and all the stuff I had found out. And Dennis Banks, he listened carefully. And then it turned out, after 3 hours of just unloading all the stuff and also mentioning that I had been in contact with one federal agent, the upshot was, after 3 hours, about 3 o'clock in the morning, we left the meeting, and the very next day, Dennis Banks took that information to Jones, and Jones then let me know that he knew about me, and I went into hiding for 18 months, and then Jones didn't go public with that for quite a few weeks. He kept it private, except letting me know and a few of my sources. And but finally, he realized that the government was going to be involved, and he just got all mixed up. He confused the agent that I was in touch with, which was alcohol, beverage, and firearms agent. I didn't mention specifically what agent I was in touch with. He thought that it was an IRS agent. And then he really thought that he was in deep trouble. And that's why he tried desperately then, after a few weeks, finally came out to the public in the San Francisco media and television and newspapers and tried to bring me down as some crazy guy that was trying to destroy his cult. And that's when the media in San Francisco first took real notice of this man in a serious way. It's like they saw a very strange reaction on his part. And from then on, I was in touch with major journalists in San Francisco. and of course, that's when Jones made his preparations to leave the country. And then Congressman Ryan, a couple of my sources got in touch with Congressman Ryan, who decided he would go down there and look into it. And when I found out that that Congressman Ryan decided to go all the way out to the Jonestown colony, that's when I got in touch with the journalist that I had been working with the San Francisco Examiner, Nancy Dooley. And I told her, I said, we've got some way, if possible, to stop the congressman, because I said, I know that Jones has some plan of action. I've studied his mind for almost 9 years, and I know that he's desperate and he's got some plan of action. And I told her specifically that Ryan is not going to come out of South America alive. And I told many other people that. And
wow.
The thing that that I find interesting is that this behind-the-scenes story has been kept out of all the books and articles, it's very, very strange. But it was suggested to me that most of the writers of the books and articles were mm-hmm. liberals, and they didn't like the idea of even mentioning that some layperson was investigating Jones for almost 9 years, and that it's like it bothered them for some way to even admit that they wanted to make it look like they had discovered this in recent months. I did get in touch with one reporter early on in 1972 mm-hmm. With Lester Kinsolving. He was a good, solid, honest journalist.
Sure.
And I
know who Lester is, yeah.
Yeah, and when he saw what I had come up with, he really started digging in then. And then he ended up writing 8 articles for the San Francisco Examiner. And when they went with after the first 4 articles came out, Jones found out about it. He was still up in Redwood Valley, not too much time spent in San Francisco area. When he found out about that, he brought hundreds of his cult members down, and they surrounded the San Francisco Examiner, and Jones threatened lawsuits and all that. And the Examiner pulled the last 4 articles. But here's my point regarding that the Examiner articles. Later on, several years later, after I was exposed, and then the media came into the situation because of Jones's reaction to mm-hmm. me trying to destroy me, that's when the politicians all started backing off a little bit, except the mayor of San Francisco. He defended Jones right up till the mass slaughter down there. But when they saw that, they started backing off. But the key thing that hasn't come out is that every one of those major politicians in the San Francisco area, every one of them, could easily have gone back and read all of those articles on
Jones.
And they
knew. Yeah, and they could have known and could have done something, perhaps.
They chose not to because they were politically in bed with him and needed him even more than he needed them.
Yeah. David, hang on a second. We need to step aside, and then we're going to come back with this. We're speaking with David Kahn, of course, about Jim Jones, in Guyana and what happened there and what led up to that and things that could have happened certainly differently. Hang with us here on America Tonight.
If you drive for a living, you don't get paid to stop or wait in line. Keep your wheels moving with PrePass. Bypass way stations. Fly by port of entry facilities. Stay moving at highway speed while the guy without PrePass waits in line. Save time, save money. Call 888-401-PASS to try PrePass free. That's 888-401-PASS.
What's cooking at PrideKitchen.com? Plenty! Low prices on your favorite kitchen brand appliances, Vitamix blenders, Omega juicers, reverse osmosis systems, and more. Plus, free shipping on it all. PrideKitchen.com gives your family the tools for a healthy lifestyle by eating more fruits and veggies and drinking pure water. Go to PrideKitchen.com. Great selection, low prices, free shipping. PrideKitchen.com. We help make healthy lifestyles convenient.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Hi, my name's Russ, and after my heart attack, I wasn't sure what was going to happen. I needed to keep on working, but now it's becoming a problem. I heard about these garlic cayenne drops and hoped it would help me. Well, I've been taking them for about 4 months, and the way I'm feeling now, I can see how I just might make it to retirement, thanks to ExtendoVite.
My name's Don Wiskin, and I want you to know ExtendoVite works. If you're looking for more energy or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from ExtendoVite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
This is an urgent message. Urgent if you care about feeding your family. S-510 has passed through Congress and will make the sale of heirloom seeds difficult. Prices of non-GMO seeds are skyrocketing and may be hard to afford in the future, if you can even find them. As the economy continues to decline, this will make the heirloom seeds worth their weight in gold and one of the best barter tools available. When food supplies eventually run out, your solution is to grow your own food and barter tool. Now, for a short time, GetSeeds.net offers 100 packets of heirloom non-GMO vegetable seeds for only $59. Pay with 2 ounces of pure silver or just $59. The best price on the net for high-quality seeds. Our GetSeeds.net seeds are open pollinated vegetable seeds sealed in a Mylar bag for long-term storage. Bulk pricing available. So get seeds while you still can at GetSeeds.net or call toll-free 877-341-4769. That's 877-341-4769.
We're speaking with David Kahn, and we're talking about a lot of things that people didn't know about Jim Jones and, of course, what led to Guyana, why some of that information that was right there at the fingertips of even a lot of politicians, why that wasn't widely distributed. And then it makes you wonder, you got to start to think, could this guy have been stopped? I mean, there's a question, David. Do you believe Jim Jones could have been stopped and it didn't have to lead to that tragedy?
Yes, he could have been stopped. In fact, any number of contacts I made, if they had paid attention and really looked into it, Van Amberg, a major broadcaster, television broadcaster in San Francisco, I made almost a contact with him. I left him a message, and I said, I'm going to tell you a horrible thing that's going on, and you can check with an attorney friend of mine who works for the county of Alameda. And I gave him his phone number, and I said, you know, if you'll just follow through on this, we'll both be shocked beyond our sense of reasoning. And Van Amberg never followed through with the phone call. I talked with him a few months after the Jonestown massacre, and he said, if I'd only known, maybe we could have prevented it. That's all he said. He could not give an excuse why he would not call this attorney and get the backup. I told him it was a horrible thing that was going to happen. You know, by the way, I want to mention my website. People can read some of this, some of these details on my website.
Sure.
And it's www.truthsleuth.net. That's truth, SLEUTH.net. And I'd advise them to read one article in there, the Downfall of Jim Jones, written by this very attorney that I had referred this broadcaster to. Mm. And now we were going to mention just a couple of other things. one of the key things, absolutely, this is unknown to the public, because people wondered, how did Jim Jones make it all those years? That's
sure.
The big question.
Yeah, absolutely.
9 years he went. Well, he went 7 years before I was informed on, and then it began to come out. But the Disciples of Christ, the seventh largest denomination in the country, he attached himself to them when he found out that they were very liberal, and also allowed the local congregations to have their own autonomy. That he saw was just brilliantly to his favor. He could attach himself to a major church denomination and still operate his cult on the level and keep the hierarchy out from seeing what was really going on. Now, the other thing that has not come out to the public is the reason he could do that is because he had a lot of data on the Disciples of Christ. They were, I did an interview with a major theologian, at the, Pacific School of Religion, whom they came to for some help in a kind of reordering and restructuring a new mission and stuff. But when he found out what they really were, he told them he wanted nothing more to do with them at all. Because when he saw that their ministers, that were all very liberal, they're almost like radical left-wing politicians, and they had retreats up in the Sierra Mountains, and where they got into smoking dope and sex and dope and wife swapping. And when this major theologian heard of that, I interviewed him for 45 minutes just after Jonestown. He said he was just astounded. And he said that they all got off into a political thing, and they didn't care about the Jesus Christ or God or anything. That their main thrust was just political. And so with that major denomination and their regional president always coming to his aid whenever there was any sign that he was going to be looked into, then the public saw that here's this major theologian, general
sure.
president of the Disciples, who
sure.
defended him and kept saying what a wonderful person he was. Then he got carried through. And then the politicians in San Francisco also used that as an excuse to continue to support Jones, because he's the one got the big politicians elected. And he also committed voter fraud. Hundreds of his cult members voted at various precincts, and the mayor ended up saying he knew he wouldn't have been elected without the help of Jones.
Mm.
Now,
right. So that's
another
at.
Major thing that the public has very little knowledge of.
Sure, tell us.
And that's the Speaker of the House in California, Willie Brown, a very famous politician,
sure.
nationally known.
Yeah.
It's not known that Willie Brown was the key person who set up a process that would allow the mayor of San Francisco to bypass the Board of Supervisors and appoint Jim Jones directly to the head of San Francisco Housing Commission. And when I confronted Willie Brown only 18 months ago at a meeting here in Sacramento, Dr. Frank Luntz was at this meeting also. In fact, he and Willie Brown were the major participants in it. And there were about 50 people there. I was in the front row listening to this. And when Dr. Luntz said to Willie Brown, he said, Mr. Speaker, I'd like you to be candid on this point. And then that's when the speaker interrupted Dr. Luntz and said, I want you to know, Dr. Luntz, that I am always candid. That's when I thought, well, I'll have to step in here. So a few minutes later, I raised my hand and I said to Dr. Luntz, I'd like to follow through on the speaker's suggestion that he's always candid. And then I turned to Speaker Brown and I said, Mr. Speaker, you know, back during the Jim Jones reign in San Francisco, there was one person, a young assemblyman, whom the mayor had go to the legislature and push through a special bill, an assembly bill, that would allow the mayor to appoint Jim Jones directly and by bypassing the Board of Supervisors. And I had that bill in my file. And when I said this, and I said, Mr. Speaker, I said, you and I both know who that politician was, don't we? He looked at me and he said, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Of course he didn't.
I went to him after the meeting, put my hand on his shoulder, and I said, Mr. Speaker, I think it's pretty sad that you're, of course, I can understand it, why you wouldn't want to admit that you were the person who really was the key element that got the mayor to appoint Jones directly to the head of the Housing Commission. There's also other things that the public rarely has heard, and that's Harvey Milk, for example, who they made the big movie on.
Yeah.
It was never mentioned once in that movie, Harvey Milk's close ties to Jim Jones. Obviously, that wouldn't have helped the movie much.
Sure.
But the public doesn't know that Harvey Milk wrote a letter to President Carter at the time in the last few weeks of Jones's reign down there in Guyana, praising Jim Jones and wanting the President Carter to know that Jim Jones was just being mistreated and all that. It's an astounding letter, but the public doesn't know about it.
Mm-mm.
They also don't know little of anything that you see. I've always said, when people came to me, I said, and they asked, what was the meaning of Jonestown?
Sure.
And I said, the real meaning is that since all these politicians could go that long and not connect to what was really going on, I said, that same, it's a cult mentality that allows them to continue to support Jones. And I said, that mentality is going to grow and grow and will eventually arise to a grand national level. And we will see the reemergence of it on a grand national level. And I believe that that's what happened in 2007. And I warned people for 30 years almost that it's not over. Jonestown is still with us. For example, it continued in California and grew to an enormously, radically crazy left-wing system in California that's just bizarre as you can imagine.
I know what you're talking about with now, certainly what's happened with the state too. When you talk about what's going on with the bankruptcy and some of the things that have happened, it seems like one domino falls and then another one suddenly appears.
Yes.
And you see that repeated pattern. David, we're almost out of time. I'd love to have you back on again. I can tell you're so passionate about this, and I think your information is great. I'm sure you've perked up a few people as to, hey, this is what, here's some of the things that really happened there, and of course, looking to not having these things happen in the future, and what can we do to tell everybody about the red flags, look around you, pay attention.
Now,
tell everybody your website again.
It's truthsleuth.net.
Truthsleuth.net. Check it out, because there's more.
My book can be purchased on Amazon. Lednorf's Dilemma can get that on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And
very good.
Anyway, I'd be happy to come back sometime, because there's so much unknown stuff about this. In fact, it's astounding that the history books have just left it all out.
Glossed over it. Great. We'll talk to you again, and we appreciate it, David, again. You can tell that he obviously had been very, very involved with this, and he talked about going into hiding for 18 months. And, in fact, when Jim Jones rose to power, Khan left the Disciples of Church right before that happened, the California branch. But friends and family who were concerned asked him to start to investigate the People's Temple. That's what he did, and that's how he got involved in all of that. Stay with us. Rerack next.
You know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health, and most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of most alkaline minerals available. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins and acid, helping you to regain your energy and health. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body to rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen, and raises the pH of your body to optimal levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
Is your church, school, or organization desperately looking for new fundraising ideas? Tired of the same old candles or candy, taking orders, inventory, and low profits? Well, here's great news. 10X Fundraising guarantees 10 times traditional profits with zero hassle. For an amazing free bonus, free shipping, and an extra 10% off, enter GCN when you go to 10xfundraising.com. That's the number 10, the letter X, fundraising.com. Or call 800-480-8797. Visit 10X Fundraising for 10 times the profit today.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Has the whole world gone mad?
What's going on?
How can they do that?
Can Christians have demons?
Why are politicians so detached?
Need answers to these questions? This is Scott Enser for HardcoreChristianity.com, the nastiest Christian radio show and website in the country. When it comes to the biblical truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God, about what's really going on in America and the rest of the world. Come join us each day as Michael W. Smith of the House of Healing in Phoenix reveals what the churches in America failed to tell you about the true spirit realm concerning demonic activity, mental illness, and even the basis of hardcore evil that is sweeping mankind. Visit HardcoreChristianity.com. Remember, you cannot negotiate with evil. You have to eradicate it. It's not too late. Visit our website, link to our new internet radio, broadcasting 24/7 all of Michael's teachings, and going live for seminars and deliverance services. Check our schedules.
HardcoreChristianity.com.
Once again, who's still entrenched in Libya? Muammar Gaddafi, we've been talking about it way before this happened, of course. And now Libya and U.S. officials say that the two governments actually had some talks in Tunisia over the weekend. Washington is stepping away from some of the things that have been reported and saying really the point of the meeting was to demand that Muammar Gaddafi has to go. So what gives here? All kinds of things are happening. Who better to have on America Tonight than terrorism expert Jeff Atticott? Jeff, thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, it's always a great pleasure, Kate.
So what do you make of this weekend meeting? This has been so long. It's been like 4 months.
Yeah, if one word to describe the Obama administration in its most, and to be kind, it would be schizophrenic. It's incredible how the State Department contradicts the Department of Defense in many cases, which contradicts the president's view, and the NATO view is contradictory, and the so-called allies have their own view. The latest, of course, is the United States has indicated they're going to unilaterally recognize the rebels, even though we don't really know who the rebels are as the legitimate government of Libya. But that doesn't really make much sense with their previous stand that this is a united effort and that the United Nations is the one that authorized the use of force in Libya to set up the no-fly zone. So why shouldn't it be the United Nations that steps forward and recognizes this rebel government instead of the United States doing it unilaterally by itself? It's simply not consistent. If your position is that this is a world effort, then, and we're not leading, then why are we trying to lead in this next step with recognizing the rebels? That's the most troubling thing, because is it today? Is it Monday? And what's our position? Is it Tuesday? What's our position? There's just no continuity, no consistency. Gaddafi's not going anywhere, and he's going to stay in power as long as he is able to maintain his military prowess. And NATO is going to run out of patience at some point. And, of course, at the end of the day, we're going to lose. If we don't kill Gaddafi, which would be illegal, in my opinion, under the use of force authorization, we've got to kill him to achieve victory, because there's no other way to achieve victory. And unless we get real lucky, that's not going to happen. He's an expert at hiding in bunkers and moving about the city.
Yeah, and you think there's no way. I agree with you. You know much more than I do about the military X's and O's and the factors in this, but I there's no way this guy waves the flag. I don't know what they're talking about in France, saying, well, maybe he could still live. Did you hear that story? Maybe he could still be in Libya, step aside and not have the power and just still be there and let the people decide. He could just still hang out. Are you kidding?
Yeah, I mean, it's absurd. The people, you know, it's absurd. He's a dictator. He's not going to let the people decide anything. He has supporters, and he has people that do not support him. And there's many, many people that do support Gaddafi. And, oh, by the way, as we pointed out on your show before, we are now killing civilians. The very people that we were saying that we wanted to protect and stop civilians from being killed, NATO's killed lots of civilians in the capital of Tripoli and other areas that are on the side of Gaddafi. So we're clearly taking sides when we said that we weren't taking sides. We're clearly leading the effort when we said that we're not leading the effort. And we're clearly spending $1 billion of money that we do not have, with no clear definition of victory, no clear indication of what we're doing, and still playing this game that is not war. You know, it's still like military kinetic activity. So it's just it's absolutely incredible that our own news media lets this administration get away with this type of buffoonery, and no one's really calling him on it.
Yeah, and getting dragged into this in the first place, part of this was he was certainly, the president I'm talking about, seemed to be goaded into it with what happened with the UN, right? Because that was after the UN decided to go after Gaddafi and what's going on in Libya for humanitarian reasons. That's when Obama kicked in, right?
Well, many people say that Obama views himself as the leader of the world because he consulted with NATO and the UN when he made the decision to go into Libya, not with their own Congress. You know, he's spending his time consulting with non-U.S. citizens to involve the American people, our money, and our military in a war, and didn't consult with us. But, oh, he went out of his way to consult with NATO and the UN. So it's you know, it's justified that many people are upset, particularly in Congress. Like, well, what are you doing? You're supposed to be our president. We don't want a leader of the world. We want a leader of this country.
Yeah, I agree. How much of NATO is the United States? We talk about this on America Tonight. If you looked at a pie chart and you had to say, how much is the U.S. anyway?
At least 85% of all the military and financial and logistical support in NATO is contributed by the United States. And that's one of the things that our Department of Defense has been very upset about, because NATO is really a shadow organization. We provide everything for it. The general right now that's in charge of NATO is a U.S. general. And part of the complaint by the United States has long been that, hey, NATO, you're not contributing anything to these conflicts in Afghanistan, in Bosnia, and Herzegovina. And now in Libya, you got your name on there, and you're flying a couple of planes here and there. But without us supporting NATO, NATO would collapse. We are NATO.
Yeah, absolutely. We say that all the time on the air. People question that. It's like, no, that's what you don't realize. When you say let NATO take care of it, is that just because people don't realize how much of NATO we make up, as you said, especially when you talk about military and the dollars and all that? 85% is a very, very big number. You mentioned this in talking about the rebels, too. We don't even really know who the rebels are comprised of, right?
No. I mean, the rebels are slick, and we know that Benghazi, for example, which is the main headquarters, if you will, for the rebel factions, if you had to list the top 10 radical Islamic cities in the world, Benghazi would be in that list. It's a hotbed for radical Islam. And whatever you say about Gaddafi, and he is a bad guy, at least he was against the al-Qaeda and radical Islam. He was more of a dictator in the pattern of Saddam Hussein. Bad guy, yeah, but they're not fomenting, exporting, advancing radical Islam. They are locking radical Islamic extremists up. They're killing them, and that's what Gaddafi was doing to maintain power. And now the cat's out of the bag, so to speak, and who's going to address the growth of radical Islam? They have freed thousands of hardcore Islamic radicals from the jails of Libya, and these guys are smart. When the cameras are rolling, they put forth a defected major or defected lieutenant colonel that was in the military who speaks English and seems very calm and collected and says all the right things about Washington and Jeffersonian liberties, but that's all a shell game. It's all a front. In my opinion, if Gaddafi ever does go, what will replace him will be far, far worse than Muammar Gaddafi in terms of what our interests are in the region.
Yeah. We can't let you go without talking about this, because you and I have been talking about this, I think, since the first conversation we ever had. You know, where's the end game in Pakistan? All these other marbles across the board, if you will, in the Middle East. But yet now we see the things that have been happening in Pakistan, and obviously the SI just riddled with corruption. What do you think the move should be there for the U.S.?
Well, I just wrote an op-ed, and I'm going to put it up on our website. It was posted on a Texas law enforcement website. It's going to be in a magazine. But basically, as we discussed before, President Obama had a golden opportunity for us to emerge out of this quagmire in Afghanistan with victory, and he had no idea what to do. When he addressed the American people about a month ago, he should have done the mission accomplished speech. President Bush closed down the al-Qaeda training camps. We're at war with al-Qaeda. They're the main enemy in the war on terror. And now we have killed Osama bin Laden. Mission accomplished. We are leaving Afghanistan as soon as practicable and get out as quickly as possible. And the world would buy that narrative, but they'd say, yeah, okay, we that sounds reasonable. You guys won. And the voices that say, you got to fix Afghanistan because it's the right thing to do. You've got to build these schools and do all this stuff. Those voices would be marginalized because that is a mission impossible. It's never going to happen. But instead, the president mumbled about having the Taliban included in a new government and withdrawing the 33,000 surge, non-surge, right before the elections. And then in a few years, we'll get everybody out. I guarantee you, even though the president doesn't know how to claim victory when it was given to him on a silver platter, the enemy will. The radicals will claim in a few years when we finally limp out the back door, we drove the Soviets out, we drove you out, and they will claim the victory. And the narrative will be bought by the world, and they will recruit hundreds of thousands of new radicals to the flag of radical Islam, all because this president could not seize the opportunity of victory when it was given to him on a golden platter.
Yes, it'll be status quo and then beyond, as you said, declaring victory and then punting into the future and producing that more radicalized humans anti-Western.
95% of the people in Afghanistan that we're fighting, the Taliban, al-Qaeda, they can't read or write. So they don't have Fox News and you to tell them the other side. All they hear is what they hear from the madrasas, and they'll see the Americans leaving, and they say, oh, I guess we won. Allah's on our side, and
yes,
radical Islam is going to grow.
Yeah. Jeff Attucat, always insightful terrorism expert. Thanks so much for popping on to America Tonight.